and stop reading what you did in the past. Get out here and grow. Take risks. Be bold. But don't ever forget who your God is. We've been intentional this quarter about bringing you some lessons from the Old Testament that we should take to heart on some of the behaviors of these giants in the Word of God. Today, my lesson is going to be closing with the fact that God is so powerful and so influential that He can convert the hearts of people. And clearly, in the stories of Daniel in the lion's den, last week we ended with this closer that I did from part one. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. And, you know, this is King Darius. And I made a comment that said, you know, this guy Darius, I think he was just not being truthful. And Sister Patty, at the end of class said, "Well, you know, I think maybe you're a little harsh on Darius. Maybe he wasn't the liar that you called him out to be." So she was exactly right. He was not as vicious and as the liar traffic as I made it out to be. The whole intent there was to tell you up front, I personally believe, that Darius could have done a lot more than throw Daniel in the lion's den. And therefore, that's why I set the tone for what Darius, I believed, his behavior was all about. Now, watch this turn today as we go through the lesson on how God's influence and God's power over Darius converted Darius' heart. Okay? So Patty was exactly right. He's probably not the liar that I called him out on, but you'll see that that was an opinion. But now you're going to see God's hand in the whole thing and how Darius changes. We're in 6, starting with verse 18, where it says, "Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and turned to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel! Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?'" Folks, old Darius had a bad night. He had gone along with the crowd. And now he comes the next morning and he's saying, "Daniel, you okay?" After not sleeping, not having any good entertainment, he comes there. And Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." Whose sight? Not Darius. God's sight. You with me? "Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of you for being there. Thank you for the comments that you sent. And yes, as we talked about, God rescued Daniel because he trusted in him. Today, I want to plant a seed about what's the level of our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we trust him like Daniel trusted him? Answer to one of the questions, why is Daniel being lifted out of the den of the lions? Somewhere in the research I did, Daniel's about somewhere from 80 to 83 years old, depending on which commentary you look at. He's pretty old. The one that I copied said he was 85. Well, you all know I'm 75, and I'm kind of slow afoot. And when I go and I play baseball with Emerson, it's not so easy to get down as a catcher anymore like it was 60 years ago. So, as many of you probably have my attribute where when you are asked to take a knee or you're asked to sit on the floor, it's not that you can't get down there. It's how in the world am I going to get up? And I think maybe the characteristics that we're displaying this morning, maybe old Daniel needed to be lifted out of the lion's den because he may have had some arthritic conditions, or he just may have been so stiff. It doesn't matter, really, other than it makes to talk about how strong he was. God trusted him. He trusted God. And yet, when he was thrown into the lion's den, it could have killed him. You know, the night was over now, and he was lifted out. He survived because of what? God closed the mouths of the lions. Yes, sir, talk to me. By the way, welcome back Paul Matches, who's got a brand new hip. Woo, way to go, Paul.
I wish I had a little quicker on the foot here. Thank you. Jack, I always wondered, you know, there's certain rules that even kings sometimes can't break and whatever. So did that have anything to do with that they sealed the mouth of the den with their signet rings and it was all sealed off, and the other lords and nobles and whatever, they sealed it off too? So could it be that they couldn't break their seals?
I think you're right. On to something.
Because
why do you think they sealed the mouth of the lion's den?
So that nobody could go in and let him out.
Don't you think maybe Daniel's reputation had pretty well been known by most people? I really believe Daniel had a following. I think old Daniel could have been a shepherd because he had a flock. I think these folks that put him in the lion's den at the command of Darius, I think they might have thought, they could be stolen out of here. People will come rescue him from the lions. It's pure speculation, just like my calling Darius a liar. That was speculation. But great question. Answer it. Yeah, I think you're right. Who else? Anybody? Jerry's got one. Thanks, Eric, for carrying the micro today.
Bring my tennis shoes.
Well, first of all, Daniel did not do anything to disrespect his God. The thing that happened was he would not follow a person, a human. He would not follow him and turn on his own God and worship this king. So God knew he didn't do anything wrong, so God was going to take care of Daniel, my estimation.
I believe you're totally on spot there. All right. Notice, I've got a note up there that says, hey, folks, heads up. This Daniel being lifted out of the lion's den was not any ordinary rescue. One reason Daniel survived this was that he was a man of God who has some characteristics that we're going to talk about later in the lesson, and we're going to kind of put a self-assessment. But right now, the question is, do you suppose Daniel prayed for protection that night? Do you think he did? For a guy who was praying three times a day, the answer is amen, brother. He definitely would pray it. Okay? How often do you pray to be protected from the devil?
As much as I can.
As much as you can. And be aware that there are shepherds in your flock here that pray that we defeat Satan. And that we are led and guided to defeat Satan. We believe, like Daniel believed, that God will protect us. Yes, there'll be challenges. Yes, we'll all have some struggles and tribulations. Footnote. The past 12 days have been really challenging personally. But I will tell you what I believe more than ever before. I believe that when we strive to honor God with the talents He's given us, and we never forget that He is in control, I believe that the trials that we go through make us stronger in the end. Amen? Amen. Here's my prayer, and it's hit me like a ton of bricks the last 12 days. I pray for those folks who don't know God and His power. I do not understand how people get through struggles and tribulations without family of followers like you and without a firm belief that God is in control and He will not fail. That's what Daniel did. That's why it's important that we not forget God is our Savior and that He is in control. Tough part, though. We are challenged because it's our duty to spread the good news. And I believe this question here about are you praying for protection from evil? Yes, and I think we also ought to pray that God continue blessing us here at North Tampa to spread the gospel and overcome the obstacles that Satan throws in front of us. Moving on. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. To us, this seems brutal. But it's no less brutal than the beginning when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. How about this? Let's remember that this was not God's decision, but Darius' decision to throw him in the lion's den. Right? What goes around comes around. Then King Darius, yes, John, help me.
Just a small point, but when it says that before they reached the floor of the den, they were destroyed by the lions, that tells me that there was quite a height that they were thrown down because they were falling as the lions were attacking them. And so when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, it's not that he was shoved into the lion's den. He was dropped.
And he certainly wasn't carried in.
Correct.
On a
so when he was lifted out, there was a height. He could not have climbed out of there under any circumstances. He had to be lifted out.
I had not even picked up on that. Thank you so much. He was dropped, thrown in, couldn't have climbed out. A little other factor, in one of the commentaries I read, it was talking about routine practice was when there was someone convicted to go and be thrown into the lion's den. For several days before the actual throwing event, they would not feed the lions. Hello? I miss a meal. I'm kind of hungry. And, you know, lions missing a meal, not a good idea, Brent. So just some little footnotes about how powerful this story is, and it never takes off from the fact that the reason that God closed the mouths of those lions was that Daniel was his man. Daniel obeyed God. So, for the next event, we see that Darius now writes to all the people, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and revere the God of Daniel." Whoa, hello? Darius, that I call the liar, is now preaching the gospel, begging people to come and obey. Not only does he ask them, no, he commands what? People must fear and reverence and be reverent to the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and also the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What kind of power of God breaking the devil control over these powerful men? If he can do it for them, we have assurance he'll do it for us. Okay? Now, it comes time for the evaluation report. You know, in my military days, we all got something called officer efficiency report. And in some of your jobs, you received the performance appraisal somewhere during your career. Well, let's kind of look at what God put on Daniel's heart. And this is the beginning of our takeaways from this lesson. In Daniel's performance, here are some of the characteristics. No doubt, Daniel put God first in everything. He trusted God and God delivered. Daniel's faith and obedience made a strong impression on Darius and King Cyrus. What kind of influence, what kind of impact are you having on your friends and neighbors based on your belief in God? In Daniel's case, just like Nebuchadnezzar, God converted these kings and acknowledged and honored him. Your belief, your commitment to the Lord is a performance factor that you're not going to get written up on. You're not going to have to sit in front of the evaluator until Judgment Day. But we got the chance now, not because we're trying to get a grade, but because we're trying to bring people on the journey with us to know Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our mission. It's noteworthy that Daniel served under many leaders. And what? He served in every kind of situation. Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar to Darius and all the way up to Cyrus. Daniel always seemed to move to the top of any organization he worked in. There's something about people that you've studied, like Joseph, Daniel, Esther, Deborah, men and women. It doesn't matter where they ended up, where you put them, who's the king, who's the leader. The bottom line was, they honored God with their lives. They wind up on top. And I copied this right out of a note that was written by one of the elders that in my life. Note, these persons were all sold out to the will of God. They were all sold out to the purpose of God. Church, are we sold out to the purpose of God? I hope we are. Because in Daniel's case, the total of all his performances resulted in he's better than all the rest. He was an excellent spirit guy. He's had wisdom. He explained difficult things and he solved difficult problems. I'm going to go into the bottom line takeaways that result in five key attributes of Daniel. And I'm hopeful that you will cut this sheet and put it somewhere in your notebooks as you study. Because each one of these attributes that we talk about, they're based on a scripture, and they're also good for us to do in our lives. When the things get tough, these are some of those things that we can pull out, glean on, and move forward with saying, I need to be more committed. Three Proverbs, verses 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Daniel certainly was committed to maintain what he believed in. He was committed to give his best. No matter who he served and where he went, he was trying to do his best. I used to have a general officer who was really, really tough on me, and he said, Shackelford, you got to quit reading your press clippings. Every day is a new day, and you have got to understand that you have to have a commitment to serve. And stop reading what you did in the past. Get out here and grow. Take risks. Be bold. But don't ever forget who your God is. We need more general officers like that in the Army. I never forgot the mentorship. And I hope you never forget that Daniel was a committed soldier. He served the Lord wherever he was and whatever job he did. Even a mess kit repair person in the Army was important. Because if you didn't clean up all the food stuff when we were on a field exercise, bacteria would set up and you could die. So you clean up after yourself. Kind of graphic situation, but the emphasis there is be committed to doing the best job you can regardless of where you're working. Be committed to be an example worthy of being checked out. Invite people to study with you. Invite people to go on journeys with you. One of the things I detested as a young teenager was they had something called door knocking. Anybody ever door knocked and you put a hanger on the doorknob? Come to the gospel meeting. I detested that. Well, what do you mean? Because I was afraid somebody would come to the door and want to study the Bible. True story. But the whole idea was, be ready. You may need to ask somebody to study with you, but at least you can be the entree, the gateway to people coming to know the Lord through you and others. Don't be afraid to be checked on. Don't be afraid to be challenged. Right, Patty? Shackelford? He didn't lie. Okay? That's keeping us all on the straight road. We just got to put ourselves out there. All right. He was also a very competent fellow. In 3 Proverbs, the verses 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Competency is crucial. What was Daniel's, a feature of competency within Daniel? You ought to immediately say, wow, he could read the handwriting on the wall. Yeah? That's pretty competent. Competency is not just showing up and doing what you've been assigned. Competency is about doing more than what was assigned. These new deacons that we just named several weeks ago, one of the joys I got as part of the 3-man elder team that welcomed them was to tell them what was our personal expectation of them in serving the flock. And each one of the shepherds had written some expectations. And of course, where did I go? I went back to my military days. Here's what I asked the shepherd. I told the deacons as a shepherd. I want you to seek responsibility. You know where that came from? Right here. Seek responsibility. Secondly, find a way to be happy in this job or go get another job. Seeking competence, seeking responsibility, using your competence. And if you can't be happy doing that and be a joy bringer, then go get another job. The third and final one I asked them to do, don't you ever tell a lie. Seek responsibility, find a way to be happy in your job, or get another job, and do not lie. Because when you lie, you're going to create another one and another one and another one. You're trying to catch up. And folks, that's competency. It's being consistent. You've got to be a risk taker also. In 3 Proverbs verses 6, and always acknowledge him, he shall direct a path, thy path. You know, Shaq, I just don't think I could participate in a life group discussion. I really don't want to be a life group leader. I don't know enough. Well, there's several members out here in this audience that are members of my life group, and they'll tell you, I don't know nearly enough. But guess who does? We got people in our life group that know the Bible. But you know, I've told you all from get-go, I don't know much Bible. But I know who my God is, and I know he's got mercy and grace when I try. And that's what I ask you all to do. Just like Daniel did. Daniel was courageous. He took risks. He challenged many kings because he knew God was on his side. And that in itself is a joy bringer. Be courageous. Put aside any of your fears from the past, just like good old Daniel did. Daniel could have been upset. He could have been mad at God, but from what we read, he was not mad at God. Because Daniel was a compassionate person. Again, back from Proverbs 3, and that's just one of those chapters that's worth reading in the Message translation of the Bible. You know, I'm a Message guy, alongside of the King James and the NIV. But this chapter 3 in Proverbs just jumps off the page because one of my sisters had asked me not to use the Message. I didn't in this series of lessons. But it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Compassion is one of those things that Daniel portrayed in everywhere he went. He was one of the guys that did what? He used his wisdom and his understanding to lead others to Christ. He was one of those guys, not only did he do that, but he was consistent in doing that. I just don't believe that we understand fully enough how committed Daniel was to the Lord. And we ought to read this book, particularly in chapter 6, a lot more, because it highlights these attributes that I'm trying to cover. What was the final result of Daniel's compassion for the Lord? Kings' hearts were converted. No matter how powerful they were, no matter how tough they were, thanks to the compassion of this man, their hearts were broken and they turned to Christ. It always interests me when we saw Darius back in a few other slides. I quoted some scripture about what Darius had done on the command that he issued. There was God speak in that verse. There was an understanding of the Lord and the God's word that Darius put out in his command. Where did he get that? Certainly, I don't think he got that understanding, that competence, that knowledge, just one night while Daniel was in the lion's den. Could it be that old Darius had been studying of his 80 to 85 years? Somewhere, I believe that Darius was in God's word more than I gave him credit for before this lesson. Food for thought. Let's not be judgmental of how much Bible knowledge a person has versus another person. We really don't know what kind of study people are doing. But if we are compassionate as Daniel was compassionate, I think that's an attribute that will lead people to God. This is kind of an interesting one here. This is my closer. Compassion led Daniel to be what? Courageous, led him to be creative. Daniel used creativity in his work. And I'm thinking, what are some ways that we are creative here? What are the things that we're doing in the month of December? Are we doing the same thing over and over again, or are we doing some courageous out-of-the-box thinking that's not outside God's word? I'll just give you an example. Last week, Eric Miner and I did the joy of talking about how stagnant our website was, our social media presence was. And you know, just 4 months ago, we had done a lot of work to get us out of the mud hole and get us up into the level of being average on our website. And it was okay, but it wasn't creative. It wasn't something that would be attractional for seekers who are trying to come closer to God or to even learn who God is. So, as Eric typically does, he dug in on something. He's like a snapping turtle. When he goes after something, he's going to find it. Well, we found some experts out there. And the first thing that the expert told us was, you guys are so far in the tube of search engine results, it's probably 60 or 70 pages before the North Tampa Church of Christ ever is found by anyone who's seeking a place to serve God. Because when people search, I tell you what the expert says. He said, just think, if you were trying to find a place, you would not be creative by using something that says ntcofc.org. People have no clue what ntcofc means. So the guy says, where's your church? And we said, North Tampa. And he said, you're a Church of Christ? Yes, sir, we are. Well, why don't you just say North Tampa Church? That's creativity. And of course, with Eric's expertise and this smart guy talking to him, if you were lucky enough to type in NTCofC, it would also take you to the same place on our website if you type as a searcher who doesn't know, all you know is you're looking for a church in North Tampa, you search on North Tampa Church. It takes you to the same place. Creativity. Well, Eric, why didn't you think of that before? Answer, I wasn't asked. Now, the whole idea is that's an example in the real day what creativity can do. No, for those folks who are listening from Hernando, Mississippi, we didn't violate God's word by putting in North Tampa Church. God has a church. A pointer that it takes us to is what we believe as members of the Church of Christ. So, if you have a concern that we're now using North Tampa Church to get to know us, please see me, because it still takes you to God's Word. That makes sense? Yes.
Our address doesn't say Church of Christ, so northtampa.church is kind of where we are, not who we are.
Say that again. Everybody listen. North Tampa.
We don't worship on Church of Christ Avenue or whatever. So if you think about an address, northtampa.church is where we are, but not who we are.
Brother Lewis, I love you. Church, North Tampa Church is where we are, not who we are. God is who we are trying to example, right? I hope that the book of Daniel has helped you grow a little. It certainly helped me grow. Today, these attributes, I hope you will remember them. And when the going gets tough, don't worry, because God's got you. I love y'all. Have a good week.